My guest at this time is Andrew C. McCarthy. He was the lead prosecutor for the United States government against the blind sheikh Omar Abdel Rahman and his co-conspirators after the 1993 World Trade Center bombing. He is certainly an international terrorism expert, and he's also our go-to guy when it comes to prosecuting those terrorists. And we've certainly seen headlines as of late that require Mr. McCarthy's insight, the latest being that Nidal Hassan, the alleged and really admitted Fort Hood shooter, is being allowed to represent himself, and now he's asking for a delay in that trial. And Andy, thanks so much for being with us.
My pleasure, Greg. How are you?
Doing well. Obviously, Americans have the right to represent themselves in court, but a lot of folks are obviously worried now that if Nidal Hassan, which he has been now, granted this right to represent himself, this will turn into a jihadist rant for the extension and the duration of this trial. What's your reaction to the judge allowing this?
Well, number one, I don't see how the judge could avoid it. As the Supreme Court has held, I believe the case is Ferretta versus California. It's a case that's a few decades old. But basically, if you make a knowing and intelligent decision before the trial starts that you want to represent yourself, you have an absolute constitutional right to do that. And I think that the objections that people have, or the fears that they have, that by representing himself, he's going to turn the proceedings into a circus, are a little bit overblown because, you know, let's face it, even if he weren't representing himself, he could try to turn the case into a circus if that was what he was determined to do. Whether he'll be able to do that or not is really going to be a function of how strong the judge presiding over the trial is, not, you know, whether he's just a defendant at the table or the defendant who represents himself.
Andy, was the major decision in this case that potentially led to this situation the fact that he is being tried where he's being tried? What's your reaction to the fact that this case is about to play out where it is?
No, I don't think so, Greg. In the 1993 World Trade Center bombing, Ramzi Youssef, in one of the trials that he faced, insisted on representing himself. We have seen this happen in terrorism cases, in civilian trial. We've seen it happen in military commission trials. I think what people need to realize is that, particularly when the case appears to be very strong, and I don't see how it could be much stronger than it is in the case of Hassan, what a defendant is always trying to do is sow error into the record, because that's the best chance that you have of getting the outcome reversed on appeal. And I think what he's really trying to accomplish here is get the death penalty off the table, one way or the other. So, you know, this is a way that makes the trial a little bit more chaotic. Now, courts of appeals are usually pretty forgiving if the chaos is forgiving of the court, if the chaos is caused by a defendant who's untrained in matters of the law, who tries to represent himself and turns the case, you know, into something of a procedural nightmare. On the other hand, a lot of courts are philosophically against the death penalty and will look for any reason to reverse a jury vote, or in this case, a military tribunal vote, if it happens for the death penalty. So it's not the from his standpoint, it's not the worst strategy in the world, because knowing that disposition of some judges, they're always looking for reasons not to impose the death penalty.
Andy, you've been with us many times, and one of the frustrations you expressed about your prosecution following the 93 Trade Center bombing and in other terrorism-related cases in open court is the discovery that is then required of the government to hand over to the defense, and in this case, the defense and the defense counsel are the same person. Any particular issues of discovery related to this case that concern you greatly?
It would concern me more, Greg, if he were being accused as an Al-Qaeda operative. Because then there would be an argument that he should be given the discovery about the overall Al Qaeda conspiracy. Because the way the government basically has, or the way the prosecution has a chance of regulating how much or how little a defendant is entitled to in terms of discovery, is how you plead the case. In this case, the prosecution has pled the case narrowly. They've gone out of their way not to accuse him of terrorism, which I think is a mistake. But they have made it basically a simple, straightforward homicide case. Therefore, I would say he should not be entitled to any discovery about our enemies, other than to the extent, if at all, his relationship with Anwar al-Awlaki somehow makes its way into the case. I don't know the way they're planning to present the case, whether that will come to pass.
We're talking with Andy McCarthy. He was the lead U.S. prosecutor in the wake of the 1993 World Trade Center bombing and a very successful prosecution of those defendants. The latest issue to pop up, and this was on Tuesday, is Hassan is now requesting a delay so he can prepare a new defense strategy, which is known as an in defense of others strategy. When the judge in the case asked specifically who he was defending, Hassan says the leadership of the Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan, the Taliban, and its leader Mullah Omar. Significance of that?
Well, I think the significance of it in terms of what we should deduce about the atrocity that he committed is that it underscores what we've been saying all along, which was that this was a jihadist terror attack. The significance in terms of the trial, I would say, should be minimal, because it's not a defense to a charge of murder that you were trying to protect America's enemies in a war. And if I were the judge, and, you know, I don't know what the military judge will do here, but one of the things I would have explained to him yesterday when he was being extensively questioned about whether he really wanted to represent himself or not was to tell him that the trial is scheduled. It's long been scheduled. If he wants to represent himself, we're going to let you represent yourself because you have a right to do that, but we're not going to delay the trial. And you ought to factor that in your decision about whether to represent yourself or not. And if he said that he wanted to represent himself, he's got to take the hand that's dealt to him, including the trial date. So if I were the judge, I wouldn't have moved the trial date, but I don't know what the judge will do.
Andy, you mentioned in passing there's kind of an aspect of the admission here on the part of Hassan and why he did what he did, or at least what he'll claim in court, and that's that he is essentially saying that he was fighting on behalf of Afghanistan, the Taliban, and Mullah Omar, yet our own government still will not classify this as a terrorist attack. So how does this new information impact their effort to label this as workplace violence, and how they claim that anything otherwise in order to make this a terrorist attack would be to jeopardize a fair trial here?
Yeah, well, as I think we've discussed before, Greg, it was always preposterous for the U.S. government to claim that they couldn't acknowledge that this was terrorism because to do so would prejudice his trial. It wouldn't have had any bearing on his trial whatsoever. To make an accusation that's simply accurate is never something that's prejudicial to a trial. But the fact that Hassan is going in this direction, I think, tells us two things. One, Hassan's a fairly sophisticated fellow. He obviously understands that there's a controversy on the government side about this, and if you're going to be a clever defense lawyer in a trial, there's nothing better than seizing on an issue that makes the government squirm. And secondly, you know, again, I think that this simply underscores that this was a jihadist terror attack. It should never have been looked at in any other way, and it's kind of embarrassing for the Obama administration to be so insistent about the idea that, you know, this is workplace violence, or to bend over not only backwards but, you know, to contort themselves unrecognizably in order to avoid acknowledging what's pluperfectly obvious, which is that this is Islamic supremacist-driven terrorism.
Andy, we'll have to leave it there. We'll be following it. Thanks very much for being with us, as always.
Thank you, Greg.
Andrew McCarthy, lead prosecutor for the United States in the wake of the 1993 World Trade Center bombing of Sheikh Omar Abdel Rahman and his co-conspirators. He's widely regarded as an international terrorism and legal expert. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.